News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Well, seems the story of the morning that a 4:40 a.m. traffic wreck in the tunnel has left things really, really, really stalled trying to come westbound from Daphne and Spanish Fort to Mobile.
Yes, you had that truck fishtailed in the tunnel this morning, right around 4:40, they said, and things have been slow moving or not moving since. Now, they did open the left lane for a little bit, and they closed it again to clean up debris. Now I'm seeing left lane should reopen shortly. But Coach Rick Cleveland, of course, with Prep Sports Report, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. here on FM Talk 106.5. He texted me about 30 minutes ago. He said, been sitting in traffic for over 30 minutes on the causeway, and it doesn't look like it's moving at all, turning around, and hoping to get to Mobile by at least 5 o'clock, he said. But things are slow moving for sure. Obviously, both the Bayway and the Causeway, with people getting off on the Causeway to try to make it across. And then if you're heading eastbound and you're heading past Pensacola, you could be slowed down there. Also, a wreck, Pensacola I-10 eastbound near Pine Forest exit. So I-10 moving slowly both directions.
Yeah. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com. Quinn Hillier, our Tuesday guest on Mobile Mornings. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning. And before we get into anything else, since you're talking about the wreck in the tunnel, this is one more reason we have to have that bridge, and why everybody should be furious with Governor Ivey for 3 years ago taking her ball and going home with it in a fit of pique. But we should also be furious for 25 or more years of the State Department of Transportation screwing things up again and again and again. Blast it. Let's get the bridge.
Well, yeah, and it's still beyond me that the feds don't get involved here. I mean, we are talking about I-10. And Dan and I worked out yesterday that it's not the longest interstate in America. Dan was right on that count.
It's the fifth longest.
But still, I mean, it's a federal roadway, and regardless of what the state has done, you'd think that they would, you know, chime in a little bit.
Look, our federal representatives have sort of fallen down on the job. I give Bradley Byrne credit for getting the thing started again when it was basically dead in the water, and he got a process started again, which then the State Department of Transportation and Governor Bentley and Governor Ivey all screwed up. But the Fed should be paying the vast majority of this thing, and we had the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee who got only a tiny little bit for us. So, I mean, people have fallen down on the job right, left, and center, and it's just infuriating. That's not what I was supposed to talk about today. But
Yeah, that's all right. But just to piggyback on that real quick, just overall, Mobile, it's almost like we are our own, I don't know, our own state down here. There, you've got Mobile and Baldwin County, and the rest of the state seems to disregard us pretty much, except when it comes to going to the beach.
Yeah, and pulling that tax money in also.
Yeah, our problems are not their problems, and they just shut the door. Am I missing something here?
No, you're not missing something. And you would think that Governor Ivey, being from more south than north of the state, would have done more for us, but she has just given us the back of her hand, and it's infuriating.
All right, Quinn, where do you want to go this morning? Of course, the sad death of Levon Manzi, 8-year councilman, president of the city council, happened yesterday.
You didn't have to like the way that he ended up voting most of the time, and I didn't, to like Levon Manzi, to recognize that Levon Manzi really took his job seriously and really cared about the city of Mobile. He was an extremely likable guy. He tried to be fair-minded. He ran the city council once he became the president of it. He ran it in a very fair manner. I worked for a couple of months on a tax commission with him, and you know, he was just extremely, extraordinarily likable, and it's just a tragedy, and my heart goes out to his family, and somebody needs to name, you know, something after him in his district, because he really did put his all into it.
Yeah, and Quinn, I know Councilman Manzi was dealing with some health issues, but still, 38 is so young, so young.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, he'd already been such a long-term member of the council. There's no telling with this runoff on the way if he'd won that, which he was close to winning it outright with the 48% of the vote, but certainly a major loss for the city of Mobile.
Yeah, well, let me talk about that runoff for a minute, because now you have a situation where the ballots have already been printed. His name is still on the ballot, along with William Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I haven't heard any of this, but you know, maybe there might be some people say, well, let's honor him by voting for him anyway. Because what will happen then is if he wins, even if he's deceased, then you just have a new election and you start over. But let me say two things about that. Number one, it will cost the city a lot of money, time, effort to put on a new election. And secondly, I don't, you know, that's something I don't think LeBron would have done. I can't speak for LeBron Manzi, but that's sort of a useless gesture. And I want to say something good about William Carroll, mm-hmm. who is left on the ballot. William Carroll served as a councilman, did a pretty good job, and he is a fine, fine man. I've got a little story. I coached 8th grade girls basketball Catholic League 1 year with my two nieces, and we had sort of a tragedy in our family. My mother-in-law, my two nieces' grandmother, died 2 days before our big game in the last game of the season. And then on the afternoon of that day, my aunt, completely separate family, my aunt died. And we showed up, you know, we decided to play the game anyway, but just absolutely bereft, grieving. And it was against the team that William Carroll was coaching,
mm-hmm.
and it had his daughter on it. And I don't even know if William, you know, knew all the other circumstances. But what I can tell you this, his girls were bigger. A lot of times in eighth grade, you have a wide,
yeah.
you know, variety of how well,
yeah.
You know, and
athleticism and size.
Their smallest starter was bigger than our biggest starter. Well, Lord, I don't know how it happened, but our little girls played the most, you know, inspired game I've ever seen, and with just over three minutes left, we were up by 1 or 2 points. And then William's daughter, finally, who was a really good athlete, a big girl, a strong girl, finally decided to take the game into her own hands. And 4 straight times down the court, she just drove the lane and dared us to try to draw a charging foul, and she made 4 shots in a row, and they ended up winning by 6 or 7 points. But we had stuck with them. We were literally ahead with that 3 minutes, 15 seconds left.
Yeah.
Okay. After the game, William comes up. And, you know, it wasn't just good game. The game was well played. No anger, no animosity. Girls on both sides were polite. They were nice to each other, even though they were competing fiercely. He had his girls really well coached and well trained. They were great girls. He comes up after to me afterwards, and didn't just shake my hand, say good game. He stopped me and he grabbed my arms and he looked into my eyes. He says, "Your girls were inspired today. You should be so proud of how they played." That's classy.
Mm.
And so. You know, you can honor LeBron, and we will honor LeBron in a lot of other ways. We'll probably name some playgrounds after him, stuff like that, and he deserves it. But don't, you know, do some sort of weird thing. I'm going to honor him by voting for him even though he's not around. You've got a good man still on the ballot in William Carroll, a very good man, and he'll be a good councilman like he was before.
Yeah, and Quinn, when we get back, one more time I want to run over what that runoff election will look like now with the passing of Councilman Manzi. And we have this special session on prisons being set up for next week with Governor Ivey making the announcement. Want to get into that, too.
Yeah, right.
All right,
Quinn, thank you, man. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwood at 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. Jeff Porcio show comes your way beginning at 9 this morning on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 821. It's the Jeff Porcio show coming up 9 o'clock, hosted by Dan and Dalton.
Possibly us. It's possible. You know, Jeff's caught in that quagmire.
We might call you back, Quinn. That's the point. It's
that'd be fine with me. I can blast some more.
I don't, you know, I'm at, by 9 o'clock, I'm out of words, man. All right, here we go. Where do you want to go here, bro? Prison?
So, yeah, Quinn, we were talking about, we started by talking about I-10 and the Mobile River Bridge that has not been built and, you know, where and why have we not seen, you know, any money from other sources come in for that. I'm just wondering, you know, if the legislature is able to figure out how to put the prisons in a use money from the American Rescue Plan to go into building prisons. I'm just saying, couldn't the argument be made that I-10 needs a little funding from the American Rescue Plan? But really, the thing I'm
looking at is— Are you laughing right now, Dalton?
I'm laughing in disbelief.
Wipe that smirk off your face.
Laughing in disbelief. As we have, you know, our hospitals still dealing with a bunch of COVID patients. I don't know. I know we got to get this prison plan taken care of. We've got to find a way to fix that problem before the feds come in and try to fix it for us. What are your overall thoughts on this special session coming in next week?
Well, look, it has to be done. We're against the deadline. This is one of the things that for a while I was giving Ivy the most credit for. They had a really interesting plan where they were going to build new prisons that could be operated so much more efficiently that they would save them enough money over, I think it was 15 or 20 years operationally, to effectively pay for themselves. And it made a lot of sense. The problem is when she went to actually put it out for bid, for various reasons, she couldn't get them built as inexpensively as she thought, and the whole thing blew up in her face. They'd done a lot of good work on it. I'll give her credit, but they didn't have all their I's dotted, T's crossed, or whatever. And we are, I mean, the feds are within a year of taking us over. We have to do something. We have to do it now. And if it takes federal money to do it, more power to us. This is a must do, because you know what will happen if the feds take over? They're going to come in and they're just going to start willy-nilly letting people out of prisons, including possibly dangerous people. Our crime rate will get even worse. So we need to take care of this ourselves. And so the special session is definitely needed. I just wish we would use it while we're at it for about four or five other things as well as prisons.
Yeah, and that's what the president of the Alabama Hospital Association was saying. We need to discuss COVID in that special session as well. But you're exactly right. It was California that was put under federal receivership a while back, and that's exactly what happened. Some hardened felons got out and committed more crimes. But, I mean, isn't this kind of a bad look? It's in a way, kind of a Hail Mary that those American Rescue Plan funds came in. But does it say something about the state that it came to this, using funds from the feds for something entirely almost unrelated to the prisons, that's what we're having to use to put basically the down payment on these prisons?
Well, yes, it does. It really does not speak well of our elected officials, but be that as it may, sometimes you get manna from heaven and you got to use it for food. And so, you know, I'm totally for this. But let me talk about what the hospital guy said. We, like about, I don't know the number of states, 24, 25 states, have this system called, what do they call it? I just drew a blank. The certificates of need.
Yeah.
Where you have to apply for the right to have a certain number of hospital beds. What that means is you're basically rationing hospital beds, which in ordinary times, even in ordinary times, to me, that's a bad idea. I think the market should dictate how many beds you have. Why should you not be allowed to build, to supply more hospital beds and build more hospitals than, you know, if you think you can finance them? Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, that's our system. Why, in a time of a pandemic, do we still have this system? Mm-hmm. Now, this is one thing Kay Ivey did really well. She got a waiver during the pandemic for the certificates of need, so we can start slowly expanding hospital beds, but that's a temporary measure. this is one thing we should do in this special session, is completely get rid of that certificate of need law and say, as long as you can prove that you can run it in a healthy way, I mean, you still have to have licensing for health and for effectiveness and for quality, but as long as you can prove that, you should be able to build as many hospitals and have as many hospital beds as you want. And I don't know why we're not handling that in a special session.
Real quickly, in the last couple of minutes we've got here, Bill Sisson is stepping down as the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. He's been in that position for over a decade. Assess the job that Bill Sisson has done, and what does the city of Mobile do from here, Quinn?
Bill Sisson, as far as I can tell, I'm watching at one reserve, but I have thought he's done a superb job running the chamber. Everything I've seen and heard has been positive for all these years. I think this is a very big loss for the city. We've got a good board over at the chamber, and so I'm sure they'll do a really good search. They shouldn't just automatically hire from within, although maybe they should hire from within, but they should do a good nationwide search. It is a crucial position with everything that Mayor Stimson has going with the move to the airport, with all the economic development things that are going on. We need somebody that can also focus on small existing businesses and integrate that into the mayor's plans. So this is a big, big deal, and Bill Sisson is a big loss to the city.
Yeah, and so it's been so long since we've done the replacing of the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. I hope that the board is up to the task.
I really like this board. I like the chairman, Terry Harbin. I think there are a lot of wise people, so I have every confidence that they will do a good job.
Okay.
This is the kind of thing that voters don't get to vote on, but it really does affect the whole city, and we need somebody good there.
All right, so let everybody know where we can get to your stuff, including your Mad Jones trilogy.
Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Agonistes, and Mad Jones Hero. Actually, I set them out of order. Available Amazon.com. For my columns, Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, or go to QuinnHillier.com and subscribe for absolutely free. And I guarantee if you subscribe, you're not going to start getting all kinds of other weird things in your inbox either. This just directly subscribes to it, and once a week you'll get an update.
Sounds good, Quinn. Thanks for your time again today, okay?
Thank you.
Quinn Hillier, the Washington Examiner.
That's Quinn Hillier. I guess I have to blame someone else for the weird things coming into my inbox, because Quinn says it's not him. It's not him, no. But there's definitely weird things going into my inbox. So,
again, I'm going to ask you to please wipe that smirk off your face. We have a very serious situation that no one is happy about. Rick Cleveland is stuck in traffic on the causeway.
Along with millions of others.
Threatening to turn around. Wow.
Hey, coming up, next segment, you know, it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Today, Joy of Life takeover on FM Talk 106.5, or St. Jude takeover, and we're going to talk with Webb Jackson. He's the president of Joy of Life, closely intertwined with that charity.
Very good. All in the way. FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, and it is 8:30.
Thank you, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew doing fantastic work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. When you talk about a local company, Trey is about as local as it gets. And let me tell you a little story. So FM Talk 106.5 has had a storage unit just about 2 miles away from the studio here. And that storage unit has been filled with, well, I'll say it. I don't know if Sean's listening. It's been filled with junk for the last maybe decade.
It's kind of disgusting.
Maybe longer. And Sean kept imploring me to go out there and help him clean out the storage unit. Yeah. You know, he told me too,
and I wouldn't do it.
He said, it's a big job. We need to get out there and take care of this problem. I filibustered, lots of grandstanding, lots of not working on my part. And finally, he called 1-800-GOT-JUNK and had them come out and take care of the problem.
There you go.
He thinks they were taking care of the problem for him. Really, they were taking care of the problem for me. And I didn't have to lift a finger and get out there and clean out that storage unit.
Really good job.
So 1-800-GOT-JUNK. junk, saving us this last week and coming out and cleaning out our storage unit. And they've done work for a number of people around here at FM Talk 106.5. Glowing reviews from every single one of them. It's really easy to set up your appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You find a window of time that works for you and works for them, and they'll be out at your residence or place of business taking care of that problem for you. The pricing is up front. What you get quoted is what you'll end up paying, and they dispose of the junk responsibly. So if you got a lot of work that needs to be done and you don't feel like doing that work, or maybe it's too much for you,
you're just a lazy bones.
Maybe you're just lazy like
that. That's all right.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and have them take care of it for you.
You know how you can get out of work all the time, like something like that, if you just wear a t-shirt that says, I'm lazy. You're not even approached. They're like, well, next.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover unless they're wearing an I'm lazy t-shirt, I guess.
I should wear one. We've got our friend Webb Jackson is the president of the Joy of Life, and he's on the line with us right now. This month, September, is Childhood Cancer Month across the country. Webb, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Webb, I was in attendance for the last Joy of Life Ball. Unfortunately, it's been a couple years now since that happened. I know you have another one coming up in February, but right now, this month, September, is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and today is the St. Jude Takeover at FM Talk 106.5. This morning, we've already talked with Ryan Malone and his mother, Marie. Ryan, the king of the upcoming Joy of Life Ball, and also Brian Kane with Their Hope Brewing Company, who they do fantastic work with St. Jude and Joy of Life. So talk a little bit about Joy of Life and what exactly you guys do.
Yeah, Joy of Life on the Gulf Coast, a lot of people don't realize this. We're the only organization that was actually formed specifically, I can't talk this morning, to raise money for St. Jude. We found out a long time ago that during the walk, that the St. Jude walkathon, that at any point in time, there's anywhere between 25 and 50 kids from Mobile and Baldwin County alone that are currently under treatment or receive treatment or finish treatment at St. Jude. So it was a lot of local kids, and I couldn't believe that number was that high. Mm. So we actually started this with the walk, and then from the walk, we actually came up with an idea of what else could we do that could help raise money for St. Jude. And since Mobile is the birth of Mardi Gras, it was a no-brainer. We decided, let's do the Mardi Gras Ball. So that's how this all started. So we do this Mardi Gras Ball each year.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, we also started doing the golf tournament and the associated parade with the golf, with the Mardi Gras Ball. So those are our three major events that we do each year. And like you said earlier today, is Takeover Day for 106.5. Mm-hmm. It's something new that we started to do. And thank you so much for allowing us to do that.
You got it, Webb. You know, the numbers are astounding that so many kids from right here in Mobile and Baldwin County are treated at St. Jude. I know that when I was in country radio, the numbers seemed to exceed 50 on most given times when we were talking about St. Jude. Amazing right. Numbers. So St. Jude isn't a local hospital, but they sure treat a lot of local patients.
That's right. And one of the guest speakers that will be speaking later this afternoon actually did not go to St. Jude, but she used the protocol from St. Jude and stayed home here in Mobile.
Hmm.
And she was actually one of the queens of our balls as well.
That's great. Talk a little bit about how you choose the king and queens of the ball. So these are kids who have had a brush or are currently undergoing cancer treatment. Is that how it is every year?
Well, unfortunately, yes. Like we said, we get candidates for the king and queen of the ball that are from Mobile, Baldwin County. And we've actually, luckily, we've kind of run out of some of the boys for the ball, for the kings. So we actually had to go out a little bit further to Biloxi, Pensacola, and Pascagoula area. But typically we get candidates that have had treatment or were at St. Jude at some point in time, and we vote on a king and a queen. And this year we did something kind of different. We actually have one king, which is normal, but this year we have two queens. And the queens are sisters or stepsisters that had the same type of cancer in the same location.
Wow. Incredible. Wow, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard to believe that, you know, exact same cancer, stepsisters, and they had it at the same time as well.
Are you involved with the charity golf tournament as well that's coming up in a few weeks?
We are. We've got several things. And, you know, in the month of September, we've tried to put a lot of events for Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. We had the proclamations from the city of Spanish Fort and the city of Mobile. We had the yard sign to give away that we gave to various people and various entities that sponsored their events and are sponsors of St. Jude. and Joy of Life. We have a guest bartender spot that you talked about with Brian earlier this morning on October 28th. The golf tournament's coming up on October 15th at Heron Lake. And then, obviously, we've got the Mardi Gras Ball in February and then the parade in February as well.
Can folks from around here join Joy of Life? How does that go down?
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that we're having this takeover today, that we want to let the public know that, you know, this is an opportunity if you want to give back, if you want to, you know, help raise funds for St. Jude's. Because we're always getting asked that, hey, I'd love to do that. Hey, I'd love to be part of that. How do I do that? Well, now here's how you can do it. You can simply go to our Facebook page, Joy of Life on the Gulf Coast, and send us a private message, or you can email me at webwbb.jackson@joyoflifegulfcoast.org.
Webb, thanks for everything you're doing for the kids at St. Jude and our kids locally, obviously, that are benefiting from the treatments and protocols at St. Jude. And we're looking forward to all these events, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
That's Webb Jackson. He is the leader at Joy of Life Gulf Coast. And one more run through the events they have coming up next Tuesday at Fairhope Brewing Company. Guest bartenders, all the tips will go to St. Jude and Joy of Life. And what's great about that is you get to give to charity while you drink good beer from Fairhope Brewery. So that's coming up next Tuesday, I believe, starting at 6 p.m. And then next month, October 15th, the 4th annual charity golf tournament at Heron Lakes. We will be out there with the morning show and having a good time. And then February of next year, the 8th annual Joy of Life Mardi Gras Ball. And then that rolls into later in the month, the 4th annual Mardi Gras Parade. So some fantastic events coming up with Joy of Life.
I'd be a little mixed up here. Is this just the wrong date?
Where Okay. So September 28th is the guest bartenders thing there.
September 28th at Fairhope Brewing.
And again, this is an all-day thing. St. Jude's takeover on FM Talk 106.5 for Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. All right. Coming up, we've got the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, starring Dan and Dalton.
Possibly. We'll see if Jeff, he's stuck in the traffic, just like so many trying to make their way westbound as you had that. Can you believe that accident in the tunnel happened at 4:40 this morning? And I don't know what the backup is looking like.
It's 8:43. Right now, exactly. Well, Jeff says he's now 10 minutes out, which is good news.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like he's going to make it on time.
Yeah. So that's been a quagmire this morning for sure. And hopefully everyone's making it to work and getting the kids to school on time or whatever you're doing this morning. I did want to talk this morning a little bit about, have you seen what's happening in Australia?
I know that you're upset about it.
I don't know if upset or just in awe that this isn't a bigger story, but we've seen anti-mask, anti-whatever protests here in the U.S., but it's nothing like what's happening in Australia right now. As, you know, I've always thought of Australia, I mean, it's the land of criminals, right? That's how the place was started.
Yeah, all the bad guys, put them on an island.
You got Crocodile Dundee from Australia, the entire Crocodile Hunter family from Australia. These are like wild, fun people,
hardy,
right?
Wild people that it's like if the Cajuns had their own country.
Yeah.
If the people in Louisiana had their own country, it would be Australia.
They know how to have a good time.
Yes.
But the government in Australia has gone like full on raging shutdowns, lockdowns, everything they can do with this pandemic. And I know New Zealand isn't Australia, but I'm thinking back to a story from last month where New Zealand had one case and they shut everything down. Hmm. Not one death, one case of COVID-19 and shut everything down again. Well, Australia, just next door to New Zealand, they've got some pretty crazy laws right now too. Just this weekend alone, some protests in Melbourne, and Australia police arrested 235 people in Melbourne on Saturday for protesting, 32 people in Sydney. They said they arrested them because they were unsanctioned anti-lockdown rallies, and there were clashes here. I don't believe that Australian police carry a firearm. I'm pretty sure that they don't, but there were like actual fights between the protesters and the police. And I've seen quite a few videos where police are actually in retreat from some of these protests because the people are coming after them. In Victoria, they're now mandating vaccines for construction workers in Victoria and have shut down construction sites until these construction workers get vaccinated. They said they have to do it by the end of the week. And you talk about a group of guys that don't like being told what to do.
No kidding.
Think of your typical construction worker. Now make them Australian. They're pretty fired up about this.
Yeah. So the pushback is tremendous, right? The citizens are not happy with all this.
Yeah. Not happy at all. And I guess maybe because we're dealing with our own things over here in the U.S., but it's federal overreach to the max. And I know it's Australia. They have an entirely different system than we do. But when you think of places, Australia is usually there at the top of the list when you say, hey, if you could move anywhere in the world, where would you want to move?
People talk about that a lot. And I just assumed that they didn't have that sort of government overreach. But I'd be wrong.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that the people would put up with it from Australia.
And it seems like they've been fed up with it officially now. So going to keep our eye on kind of what happens here in Australia. You look at the numbers. They've had 85,000 total cases the entire pandemic in Australia and 1,145 deaths. But you look at the federal overreach there, and it is absolutely insane.
Sounds like everybody's fed up, too, because we're a year and a half of this stuff now. A year and a half of the pandemic and any kind of mandates that have gone along with it. And I think we're all pretty fed up. 847 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, I do believe the Jeff Poor Show today will star Jeff Poor.
Oh.
Looks like he's going to make it on time. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwick. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
8:52 as we wrap up Mobile Mornings here. I want to talk to you about my good friends, Tobias McCormick and Comer, local law firm here in Mobile, and giving back to the community in a number of ways. First off, this week is Child Passenger Safety Week. And, you know, annually, I believe TMC puts on this like car safety seat check. And they haven't been able to this year because of COVID-19. They do have a virtual event, which unfortunately now is already sold out. I guess fortunately, but unfortunate if you're trying to get in on that. But it's something they point to every year, how important it is to make sure your kids are properly, you know, belted into their seats and into their child car seats. They also have a really cool event coming up next month for the athletic among us, the 6th annual Try the Gulf Triathlon, taking place on Dolphin Island October 16th. And Tobias McCormick and Comer, the presenting sponsor of Try the Gulf. It's the 6 years this has been happening. 600-yard swim in the Gulf off Dolphin Island.
Mm-hmm.
A 16.7-mile bike ride on the island and the bridge.
Piece of cake.
Good view from up there. And a 3.1-mile island run coming up at the triathlon. If you want to get involved, trythegulf.org. That's TRITheGulf.org, or go to facebook.com/trythegulf. And you can find out more information about TMC at tmclawyers.com.
853 FM Talk 106.5. Well, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas made it to the border.
Yeah, he made it, didn't he?
Congratulations.
All it took was 14,000 Haitians.
And this is what he had to say about it.
It is tragic to see families, vulnerable individuals who've been deceived by treacherous and exploitative smuggling organizations. It is tragic and it is heartbreaking.
I don't know if that's the real narrative here, the tragedy certainly there's a big scope here. You can look at the situation and probably come up with about 12 narratives, like, mm-hmm. Let's talk about this now, let's talk about this. But the absence of accountability and the absence of policy, can we talk about that at all?
Yeah. Oh, well, you better believe this is still the Trump administration's fault, if you ask Mayorkas that. And a lot of people asked yesterday, were saying, you know, how did they get to the border from Haiti? Obviously.
Me too.
So what apparently has happened, Haiti hasn't been the greatest place for a while.
Right.
Right. So people left Haiti years ago, some over a decade ago,
okay,
and were living, I believe, in Central America, and then left Central America to come up.
Okay.
So they've been out of Haiti for a while now, a lot of these people. But what's happening now are they are being flown back to Haiti.
Right, where they don't have really any...
anything at all.
Right.
So that's kind of what's happening with the Haitians that are seriously just walking across the Rio Grande there in Del Rio. And you saw some of the images and video of Border Patrol on horseback yesterday, keeping people from coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And you also had Jennifer Psaki yesterday.
Yeah, Jennifer Psaki, she responded to questions as to why migrants are not required to be vaccinated against COVID-19 before they enter the country, but foreign nationals who arrive by airplane are. Psaki yesterday.
As individuals come across the border, they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process.
And why she says it's not the same, the nationals on an airplane and the folks at the border.
They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
I don't know. They're not intending to stay here for a long time.
So she's talking correct me if I'm wrong, she's saying the people that are coming across the southern border, escaping whatever it is they may be escaping, that they're not intending to stay in America? If that's what she intended to say there, that is like the most bald-faced lie I've heard yet, and that's saying something.
She said they're not intending to stay for a long period of time. Now, and I heard the questioner said, well, they're here, aren't they? Like, that's not the point. It's how long are they here? But they are here. I'm really surprised nobody followed up with, well, what do you mean by that?
Because
that doesn't seem to make any sense. People are obviously coming here to be here, to live the rest of their lives here. That's why they would put themselves in that position, Central America, Mexico, and then finally to the border. In a position to just be arrested so they can be in the United States.
You know, when people like the people in the Biden administration and the elites in the media, when they wonder why, you know, people don't just take what they say hook, line, and sinker, it's because of the obvious double standards that are happening everywhere. We talked about it yesterday with the Emmys on Sunday night and Met Gala last week, how you have these rich Hollywood elites flaunting their, you know, $30,000 ticket to the ball and their $50,000 dresses they're wearing, no mask, no anything. They're running around talking to each other, eating in front of each other.
Right, they have political statements on what they're wearing sometimes.
Yeah.
They did it at the Met anyway.
And at the exact same time, you have the people working behind the scenes wearing masks. I mean, it is like the most obvious difference in class representation that you can get. And then you have this happening at the border, hundreds of thousands of people streaming illegally across the border every month now. And they're telling kids they have to wear masks in second and third grade. They're telling you can't work unless you get vaccinated or have a negative test every week. And at the same time, you have these people who I'm sure are leaving terrible places and terrible situations, but they're not doing anything about the spread of COVID from the southern border. It's just completely backwards, everything they're doing.
Yeah, it's kind of befuddling. Like, I don't want to compared necessarily to what happened in Afghanistan, but it's again like, do you have a plan? What is the plan here? Is the plan to let everybody in because you think you're harvesting votes? Is there something to that?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's no doubt that they believe they let a lot of people in from Central America. Those people will eventually vote Democrat. And I don't know how accurate that is or not. But look at when we talked about Cuba and Cuban refugees trying to come over. And they're
no go.
No way.
No go.
You're staying in Cuba, man.
Jeff Four has made it here. And good for him. He's got some good guests on the way, too.
Yeah, Dan Gaynor in the first hour. Also, State Representative Steve Klaus coming on. And then a couple city council candidates, Corey Penn at 11 o'clock, and then Josh Wood wrapping it up at 11:30.
Sounds good. Jeff's on the way, 8:59. Dan and Dalton, thanks for listening. Back tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m.